A morning of today's Daven Gittin is Nun Tes. We find ourselves on Nun Ches Amud Beis, right by the two dots. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf Daf as well as Zeichon Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. The Gemara is still discussing the Sikrikon. We're going to be discussing it for a little bit more until the upcoming Mishnah on Nun Tes Amud Aleph. We discuss the halacha regarding the Sikrikon. Again, just as a quick refresher and a reminder, the Mishnah told us. The Mishnah goes back some time now because of the interjection of the Gemara of the Gadita regarding Churban Bayis Sheni, Churban Bayis Rishon. So the Mishnah takes us all the way back to Nehemiah and Beis, where the Mishnah introduces to this concept of Sikrikon. Stages of Sikrikon in terms of history and stages in Sikrikon in terms of what the actual Takana was. But the basic idea behind Sikrikon is that if your land was taken away by Goy, taken forcibly by Goy, where your life was basically on the line, and and there was no money transferred for the land itself. The guy just gave a very simple ultimatum. Either you give me the land or I kill you. So under those circumstances, that's obviously not a kinyan. That doesn't create an acquisition, but it was forcibly taken away from you. So can someone else redeem the land? So the Takana Sikrikon is yes. Someone else could buy the land from the Sikrikon. Now it's of course unfair for the original owner, admittedly. He was not compensated for the land that was taken away from him. But nevertheless, that's the idea behind Sikrikon, is that someone could redeem the land from the Sikrikon. The general idea of this Takana was we don't want the lands in the hands of Goyim. We're talking about lands of Eretz Yisrael. And we don't want the lands in the hands of Goyim. And yes, obviously, there is going to be a loser in this through this Takana. But the Takana was really, the primary purpose of this Takana was for the land itself. The land should be owned by Jews within Eretz Yisrael. What exactly was the stages of the Takana itself? So if you go back to the Mishnah, so we remind ourselves that the Mishnah told us that based in Shalacharim Amru, I'm just reading from the Mishnah back on Unhamud Beis, Halokech Mitzikrikan Osan Labalim Revia. So the when you buy from the Sikrikan, so you have to give the original owner a quarter. We're going to pinpoint exactly what a quarter means later on this morning. But basically, look, the guy's working with a very high profit margin, as I mentioned already a couple times, 100% profit margin. So he didn't pay for it. So he's not going to sell it to you at face value. That's a chutzpah. I mean, there already is enough chutzpah involved in this whole transaction. But he's not going to sell it to you at face value. He'll deduct maybe 25%, maybe 20%. You'll see later this morning we're going to be discussing that, exactly how much he's going to deduct. But he'll deduct. And so so you can't really benefit from that. So the Takana was is that you give the 20-25% over back to the original owner. Okay. The Mishnah then goes on to say, Aval yesh bi'an lika chen kod melchol adam. What if the original owner finally gets his act together, has enough money to buy back the land? Again, land that was taken away from him, land that was really his. So the Mishnah says that he can go back and buy the land anytime he wants. That was the original Takana of Sikrikon. Then along comes Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Rabbi Hoshe Beisim Benimnu. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi came and he further instituted Shim Shasa Bifnei Sikrikon Shem Asa Chodesh Kol Akodim Likach Zacha Avanos Nalbal Merviya. That once the land is in the hand of the Sikrikon for 12 months, for over a year, so from that point going forward, there is no longer any special consideration that's given to the original owner. At that point in time, anyone who wants to buy from the Sikrikon may do so. You don't have to worry about the original owner. You do have to compensate him the discount that you received. So you received a 20-25% discount, so that compensation has to go back to the original owner. But according to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi and his Takana and his Beis Din, so after 12 months, Kol Da'olim Gavar, Kol Ha'Kodim Gavar. Anyone who got there first is able to take the land. That's the Mishnah's presentation of this idea behind Sikrikon. Tana Rabbanan, we are on Nunches Amud Beis. We're starting today at the two dots. This is a Braisa, obviously also describing the Takana Sikrikon. Haba Machmas, Chov Machmas, and Parim, and Bo Mishum Sikrikon. Let's say land was taken away from a Jew, but not forcibly like we described back in our Mishnah, where it was either the land or your life, but it was just simply, it was because of a debt that went uncollected, or because on Parus. On Parus, take a look at Rashi, Gezeba Alma. So on Parus is less than Sikrikon. Sikrikon is basically when the land was forcibly taken away from you with your life in the balance. meaning you were given a simple ultimatum of either your land or your life. Here, on Parsh describes Rashi, Geza Ba'ama. Someone's coming along and stealing the land away from you. The Rashi says, V'eino master b'yad ala harog, v'anasa v'kocham karka aso b'chovo oban Parsh. So basically, you were forcibly taken out of your land, but not to the kind of extremes that we were describing back in our Mishnah. So, ein bo mishum sikriken. So we don't have the institution now of Sikrikin. The institution of Sikrikin is this idea that someone else can go ahead now and buy the land, because you never really relinquish the land, as opposed to Sikrikin, where you legitimate's not the right word, where you were gamer umakne, where you gave up the land, and although it's not legitimate, but nevertheless, in terms of you giving it up, you gave it up. You understood that it was either going to be your land or your life. Here, on the other hand, you never really relinquished the land. And therefore, the din of Sikrikin is not going to apply. No one can buy the land from the guy without considering you. It is similar to Yesh. In other words, the idea behind Sikrikin is it's Yesh, but it's more than Yesh, though. It's Gamar Makne, meaning the Kenyan is absolute. That the Sikrikin, in fact, now is the owner of the land. I was about to say rightful. It's not rightful, but he's the owner. He's considered the owner. I understand. You're right. In other words, this takana could lead to a little bit of anarchy. I could see that. I could definitely see that. But the overarching consideration is the Jew should be owning the land. But yes.
The Jew is not.
Thank you, Phil. So, now, in terms of the Anparis, you have to wait 12 months. The Gemara says, what just happened over here in the Braisa? The Braisa is not consistent. The Braisa just told us that the Anparis has nothing to do with Sikrikun, and then the Braisa says, and oh, by the way, the Anparis needs to wait 12 months, as if we're treating it like Sikrikun. So the Gemara says, exactly what we just pointed out, the inconsistency. So the Gemara says, no, this is actually what was intended. No, the Anparis itself is not the halach of Sikrikin. Someone just steals your land, not by threatening your life, just takes your land, forcibly removes you out of your land. It's not his, it's yours. He stole it. Any time that you can take him to basin, you can take him to basin and try to get it back. So when we said 12 months, we were hearkening back to the idea of Sakrikin. By Sakrikin, if he held on to it for 12 months, after that point in time, anyone who wants to come and buy it may do so. I'm Rav Yosef, Naktin and Enan Paris Babavel. Before I go on to the Gemara and read the statement of Rav Yosef, so let's quickly summarize. Let's take a look at Rashi over here, Ein Bo Mishum Sikrikin. Rashi over here is an excellent summary of the halachas that we learned up until this point in time. Rashi writes, Ein Bo Mishum Sikrikin, Im Shal B'Yad Hashem Asar Chodesh, Lasitz Revil Abalim, Kitikon Chachamim, Ve'yachzik Bakar Ka'o. So the idea behind Sikrikin, says Rashi, is that 12 months it's held by the Sikrikin, so someone can buy it from the Sikrikin, give back either 20 or 25%, you'll see why I use those numbers later, 20 or 25% back to the original owner, and that's it. And he'll now own the land. When it comes to the Sikrikin, and again, even though there got to a point in time historically, we discussed this a number of days ago, where it was forbidden to kill Jews, meaning there was one, during the actual Churban Bayis Sheni, it was encouraged to kill Jews. In fact, not only more than encouraged, right? The original takana was, if you have an opportunity to kill a Jew and you don't do so, you yourself will be killed. The second takana was, you have to pay back some sort of remuneration, or we suggested the other pshat, you yourself are going to get paid for killing a Jew. But once we got to the third stage of the Gzeira, so the third stage, or the third historical stage, so there, you can't kill a Jew. But still, explains Rashi, if somebody threatens you with your life, you're like, okay, I'm going to give up my land. And so there, Gamar Makne. V'lot sakala v'hilkach. No selambal m'rivia. Dikim l'ur abanadov v'kochavim. Uzo gabalokech rivia. Lefisha bechinam ba'alo. Now, in terms of why do you have to give a quarter of the sale back to the original owner? Because the guy got it for nothing. The guy is now selling it. The guy at least is going to give a little bit of a discount. Avahai lo gamar v'akne. However, when it comes to the Anparis, explains Rashi, there was no Gemiris stas. So when it comes to Paros, so there, somebody just kicks me out of my land. I'm not giving up on my land. That was not Gamar Makne. So under those circumstances, under Paros, any sale that the thief does with that land is a delegitimized sale, just simply has no validity whatsoever, and therefore it's going to go back to the original owner. In case of Rashi, just simply summarizing. Summarizing these halachas.
What's the difference between him and if somebody sits on the land and takes it over?
No, the chazaka only works if it goes 3 years uncontested. So that's and only if it goes 3 years uncontested. Here, once you make any protest whatsoever, that's it. It's the Kenyan chazaka doesn't work. Okay. Yes, that's correct. That's absolutely correct. It does. It doesn't. It's not legitimate. It's not legit. It's not a legitimate Kenyan. I'm Rav Yosef Nakina Nena Paros Bebavel. Now let's go back to the Gemara. Let's see the statement of Rav Yosef. The halachas of Paros don't apply in Bevel. Now I gave away the ending. The way I should have read it, and the way the Gemara thinks that what he means is nobody steals in Bevel. Okay, that's the original way that the Gemara intended to understand. The Gemara says, yeah, it's not true. It's that's utopia. We don't live in utopia. It's called Bavel. And people do steal in Bavel. So the Gemara says that's what was meant, is that there's no halachas of the Emperor's Bavel. My time came to Ika Beidar, Velo Azu Kabel. Ema achuli achel. So the Gemara says because in Bavel there's law and order. There's a system of law. There's courts. And now someone comes and steals the land away from you. Now you don't protest. If you don't protest, that means that's a mechila, because there's a court to go to. If it's a lawless land, and there's no court system, and someone steals the land away from you, so by you not taking him to court, by you not protesting, that doesn't mean you're relinquishing your land. It just simply means there's nobody to turn to. But once there's a system of law, once there's a court, so then the assumption is you're going to go to court in order to try to get back your land. And if you don't go to court, so then the assumption is that's a mechila. Okay. No, seemingly no. Seemingly they had some sort of court system. Okay. Gidol Bari Ila. Okay, this story, admittedly, a little tricky to understand in terms of how exactly this works, but I'll give you the basics then, present it more or less like Rashi's presented, hopefully more than less. So the Gidol Bari Ila was a particular individual, and Kabal Arabitaksa Mibnei Baga. So he paid off the taxes. So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Bnei Abikakachay Minhagam. Rashi writes that this was a particular minhag in this valley. Poskin mas al kol abeka lasis kach v'kach l'shana l'melech. So there was a certain estate tax that was assessed for the entire valley. Ve'imachalkin masad was bnei and v'nosin kol echad mas l'fi chalko hamagi o v'nosin l'echad v'hunosin l'gabay hamelech. And so basically now, everybody, based on the amount of land that they had, so proportioned the amount of tax that they're going to burden based on the total number. So just by simple illustration, let's say the annual tax was $1,000, I'm just throwing out numbers, and you own, let's say, 10% of the land, so you'd shoulder now $100 of the annual tax. Okay, and based on the size of the land. V'im, and Rashi goes on, V'im halach echa mimnei asadus l'darko, gai be'amach toveh mimnei abika, kol hamash shalem, v'abam shakar kazu, hilkach halchu l'darkan. So now, in the event that somebody goes away, meaning normally on an annual basis you have to pay your share of the tax, and you decide to go away, king's still going to demand the estate tax for everyone in the valley. So Ubnei Baga Shaya Kol Hamas Muta Aleihem Nasna Legido Lepirua Hamas Bishvil Habalem Ula Ochla. So now, in the absence of any one of the landowners in that particular valley, if somebody pays his tax for that year, so the understanding is that he would be able to enjoy that land for that year. So basically, by paying taxes, you're basically giving an allowance to rent that land or make usage of the land for the duration of that year. That was the understanding of this particular valley. So now the Gemara, let's go back to the Gemara and let's see the story inside. Gidol Bariila Kabalara Betaska Bimne Baga Akten V'yayv Zuzet Detlashnin. So now he thought, what an opportunity. Meaning, under normal circumstances, the owner of the land is not here, so I'm going to pay taxes this year, which again gives me rights of the usage of the land for the duration of the year. But he says to himself, wait a second, let me take advantage of this opportunity. I'm going to prepay now this year and the next 2 years as well. So I'll prepay the tax for this year, plus an additional 2 more years, and he prepaid the tax for 3 years, assuming that he's now going to be able to make usage of the land for this year and the next 2 years after that. Now in comes the owner of the land after 1 year. Now 1 year's usage right he was allowed. But then the owner comes back. So he says, look, you paid for 1 year, you paid for the taxes this year, I was absentee, and you were entitled to the usage of the land, that's fine. That's the accepted custom. But the owner says, but I'm here now, and that's it. And now for years 2 and 3, thank you very much. I'm going to assume it's my land, and you will have not, and you have no usages. Now, anyway, and from this point going forward, correct. And from this point going forward, I'm going to pay my burden of the tax for year 2 and for year 3. So this Gidol, so he wants a refund, meaning he prepaid taxes, and the owner of the land is going to pay his burden of the tax for year 2 and year 3. So now, what did he just do? He just prepaid, but it didn't go towards the tax, so he would like a refund on that prepayment. So also coming to Rav Papa, so he went to Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, "Hey, you know what? He's entitled to a refund." So they were going to write a shtar tirfa. Shtar tirfa basically means that you are by court order awarded a certain amount of money against the valley, and so now he with this court document, he'd go back to the valley and he'd be able to get reimbursed for that year 2 and year 3 of prepayment that he put down.
From the valley.
In other words,
get a refund basically.
Yeah. So Amale Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Rav Papa Im Kenasita Sikrikan. So the response made to Rav Papa was, wait 1 second. What are you treating him in? Are you treating him like Sikrikan? Meaning, when it comes to Sikrikan, who do we value the most in the Takana Sikrikan? We value the Lokeach. The original owner, unfortunately, is not taken into consideration in Takana Sikrikan. The person who's taken most into consideration is the Lokeach, the purchaser of the property. Over here, who are you awarding in this scenario? You're awarding this guy who prepaid year 2 and year 3. Nobody told him to do it. That was his prerogative. He chose to do it. And now you're awarding him because he chose to do it? So basically, you're favoring him over the owner. That's a Sikrikan mentality. But we don't do Sikrikan over here. And this is not a scenario where we're going to impose the Takana Sikrikan. So the Gemara says very simply, that's not what we do. He paid year 2 or 3 in advance. That was a risk that he took. It's like taking money and putting it on a deer. Sometimes the deer will stay, sometimes the deer is going to run away. That was a risky venture that he went into. You don't have to protect him from a risky venture if, in fact, he put the money, he prepaid for year 2 and year 3, and it didn't materialize. He doesn't need to get reimbursed for that. Don't go back to the valley and ask the valley for a reimbursement of that money he prepaid. It's sorry, it's his loss. And don't treat this like Sikrikan.
What is nasty? The original owner to pay him directly. Don't pay the valley. They also have been paid. I already paid the taxes on the land for the next 2 years. But isn't that some money from the...
Could be. But in other words, but he's not entitled to an official reimbursement from the valley.
From valley, no, I understand, but from the guy.
Okay, I hear.
Otherwise, the valley will make.
I hear, but I but, right, right. But again, but nobody told him to do it. In other words, He did that on his own.
Why did he do it?
Because he thought he was going to use it for the year, for the second and third year. Okay. Zumisha Rishon Abezin Shalchem Amar Alokech Menesikrin Kenosin Lambalim Revia. Amar Rav. Revia Bekarko or Revia Bamos. So, when we say Revia, so what exactly is meant by Revia? meaning the difference has to be paid. Again, the Sikrikan halacha is that if a Sikrikan comes and forcibly takes a land away from an owner in Eretz Yisrael, and the threat is either give me the land or you're going to lose your life. So he gives the land, and Gamro Makne, and it's a Kenyan, and he turns around and sells it to another Jew. So he's going to sell it at a discount, and so now the buyer of the land will pay the Sikrikan the money for the land, and because there was a discount, so that discounted difference is going to be paid back to the original owner. That's the Takara Sikrikan. So now the Gemara here deals with a very technical issue. The Mishnah said the word Revia. What exactly is meant by Revia? There are two options. Either Revia meant a quarter of the sale price, or a quarter meant a quarter of the actual land itself. Amar Rav Revia Bakarka, Revia Bamos. Ushmul Amar Revia Bakarka Shehein Shlish Bamos. So here we have a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel, whether we're talking about a quarter of the sale price or a quarter of the land itself. But my kamifilgi. So the Gemara explains the machlokus very simply. Mar Savar Nechi Revio Zavin, or Mar Savar Gabe, and I'm sorry, Nechi Chumsha Zavin. It's just a question of how much is discounted by the Sikrikan when he sells the land. Is he going to be discounting it by 25%, or is he going to be discounting it by 20% of its original price? Makes for the Gemara challenges based on a Braisa. Zumishon Rishon based in. I'm sorry. Based on our Mishnah, Zu Mishnah Rishonah based on Shalachem Amar Alakech Mesikrikan Osan Labalim Revia Viad Balim Al Halayona Ratzah Bekarka Notlim Ratzah Bemaos Notlim. Apologize, it's not a Mishnah. I was right the first time. It was a Brisa. The Brisa says that here you're going to pay back a difference. Now, in terms of paying back the original owner, the difference, the discounted difference, here the owner can actually demand either cash, or he can demand actual land itself. Now, in the first stage of Sikrikan, Takana Sikrikan, the original owner can buy back the land anytime he wants. Rabbi Hoshi begs him, "Minim l'shim shasa b'fnei Sikrikan shemasar chodesh kora kodem likach zacha avanos l'balam revia b'karko revia b'mos." And then along comes Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and further instituted that the original owner can only buy back the land within a year. After a year has come and gone, so now the original owner is like anybody else, meaning whoever goes and buys back the land from Sikrikan is entitled to do so, but with the quarter difference given back to the original owner. Now, the sounds like it says a quarter of either the money or a quarter of the land. So I'm Rav Ashi, Kitanya Hila, Achish Abal Mas Liado. So the Gemara says, well, what we could suggest is as follows. No. It means a quarter of after the money has been transferred over. Meaning not a quarter of the property, but a quarter of the sale price. So the Gemara says, so you could be Rav, you could be Shmuel, either Pshat would fit into this Brisa. Okay. Amar Rav, a fantastic historical account over here in terms of the Beis Din of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. As we know, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Masader Mishnayos, he was really the dividing line that existed between the Tanaim and the Amoraim, right? With his generation ended the Tkufa of the Tanaim. After that, going forward, was the Tkufa of the Amoraim. And Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is generally presumed to be the border that separates the two historically. What the Brisa here points out, Amar Rav, Ana havai b'minyana debei Rebbe, uminai didi manu bereisha. So Rav says that in this second stage of Takana Sikrikan, where Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi made another institution, an additional institution, like almost like an amendment to the Takana Sikrikan, so Rav admits that he was actually there in the Beis Din. Rav even further admitted that when they started counting from me. Now, Rashi over here, very interesting Rashi. The Rashi, second Rashi on Nuntesim and Aleph, Uminai Didi Mana Bereisha. So when they took the vote in Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi's Beis Din, they started counting for me. Mi meni shalu tchila b'shur kishayinu yoshvim. Ma da'ati note. So Rav admits that when they took the vote, so every Dayan had a vote, and every Dayan would vote and give an explanation in terms of why they voted what they did. So Rashi over here gives an account that where did Rav stand in this Beis Din? So Rashi has one Mesorah that Rav was somewhere in the middle, meaning he wasn't the Gadol, he wasn't the Gadol B'Shebador, we know that was Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, but at the same time, Rashi also has a Masorah that he wasn't at the tail end as well. The Anisha Mati Shekatun Shebem Haya. But Rashi then admits that he had another Masorah, which is that Rav actually was a Katan, meaning of the Dayanim. It could have been just an age issue, but he was the in the pecking order. He was the lowest end in this pecking order. Okay, interesting Rashi. But anyway, so Debei Rebbe Minai Didi Manu Bereisha V'Hanan Tanan. So here's what bothers the Gemara. So now in this amendment to Takanas Ikrikin, so Rav admits that he was there in the proceeding. At the actual vote, so the Gemara says just the smallest problem, which is vanantanan. Tine mamenos vatoros vatumos matchilam enagado v'dine nefashos matchilam enatzad. Yes, we have an idea that when Beis Din makes a vote, so they are going to vote, and you start from the smallest and you move your way up. But that's true only when it comes to dine nefashos. Where there, we don't want the gadol shebedayanim to state his opinion, because we don't want anyone to argue on the gadol shebedayanim. But that's true only when it comes to dine nefashos. But when it comes to basically any other type of vote, here, sikrik, and we're talking about money, it's a monetary issue. So there's no issue of starting from the side. You could start from the top. So Amar Rava Berei D'Rav V'Yitem Rav Hila Berei D'Rav Valas Shani Minyana Debei Rebbe Dekula Minyana Minatzad Havu Matchilin. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's not how Rebbe practiced. Rebbe practiced that every time there was a vote in the court of Rebbe, they always, regardless of what the issue was, they always started Minatzad, they started from the side, and they moved their way up to the top, and it wasn't just limited to Dina Nefashos. Rashi over here points out that this is really based on how to understand the Pasuk, and it's really based on the first sugya in the Gemara Sanhedrin. So Rashi says, see there the beginning of the Gemara Sanhedrin for a fuller description of what exactly the Machlokas is. But anyway, but that's regardless. The minhag is that in the court of Rebbe, they always start in Minatzan. You can draw a historical timeline from Moshe Rabbeinu to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, which will take approximately 1,000 years to get from Moshe Rabbeinu to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. That means it's more than 1,000 years, right? You're basically going through the 369 years of Shiloh. Again, I'm just sketching the history. 369 years of Shiloh, 410 years of Bais Rishon, 70 years of Galus, another 420 years of Bais Sheni, and then tack on about another 100 years from Churban Bais Sheni to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So you're right. So it's close to, it's like 1,200 years. Again, ballpark, just a sketch, a rough sketch. So from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu to the time of Rav Yehuda Hanasi, so you do not have Torah u'gedula b'makom echad, meaning you don't have someone who's both a Talmid Chacham and also a leader, right? Generally speaking, they're compartmentalized. You have your Talmid Chachamim and you have your leadership. But they're not, generally speaking, one and the same. Nobody represented and embodied both being a Talmid Chacham and being a leader, not like Moshe Rabbeinu, and not like Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So v'lov v'ahava, now the Gemara is just basically going to take us on a tour through Gedolim Talmid Chachamim from Moshe Rabbeinu to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and the Gemara is going to challenge. Really? So the Gemara says, Hava Yoshua. So the Gemara says, Hava Elazar. The Gemara says, yeah, you're right. Yoshua was the leader, and he was a Talmid Chacham, but also during Tkufas Yoshua, you had Elazar HaKohen Gadol. So it wasn't just Torah Gedula b'makom echad. So Hava Lazar, Hava Pinchas. The Gemara says, what about the fact that there was a Lazar? So the Gemara says, yeah, but there was also Pinchas. V'hava Pinchas, Hava Zekeinim. Yeah, but when Pinchas was, when a Lazar dies and Pinchas was by himself, but there was also the Zekeinim. So Hava Shal, Hava Shmuel. So the Gemara says, when there was Shal, there was Shmuel. V'hanach Nafshei, Kulu Shnei Kamrina. No, the Gemara says, in order to qualify for this position of having Torah and Gedula, we mean during the duration of his whole of his whole tkufa. V'hava David, hava ira hayiri. Even when there was David, who was a gadol, and he was also Talmid Chacham, but similarly, during his time, there was also ira. V'hanach nafshei kulushnei be'inan. And again, even though it's true that ira died, and David HaMelech was the king and the Talmid Chacham, but we mean for the entire tkufa. V'hava shlama, hava shimi megeira. And even though the shlama was a king, he was a melech and a talmid chacham, but you also had Shimi ben Gera. V'hakatle, yeah, but wasn't Shimi ben Gera killed? The Gemara says kulo shnei kamrinan. Again, we're looking for somebody who had this during his entire lifetime. Ha'av Chizkiah, ha'av Shevna, and even though Chizkiah was a melech and a talmid chacham, but during his time he also had Shevna. Ha'ikzel, yeah, but wasn't he killed? Kulo shnei kamrinan. V'ha'av Ezra, ha'av Nechemia ben Chachilai, and even though there was Ezra who was the king, or I should say the leader, and he was also the Talmid Chacham. True, but you also had Nechemia. Amar Vacher Bered Rava Af Ani Omer Miyamos Rebbe Avad Rav Ashi Lo Matzina Torah Gedula B'Makom Echad. So the Gemara says, now we're going to make another timeline. We're going to go from Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, end of the Tkufa, the Tanaim, the beginning of the Amoraim, and go all the way to Rav Ashi, who was the Mesader HaGemara, and that's about 300 years. And again, we'll make the same statement. No one embodied both Torah Gedula in one person from Rabbi Yehuda Nasi to Rav Ashi, not like those two. Now, even though during the generation of Rav Ashi you had Huna Bar Nasan, who the Gemara admits, by the way, oddly enough, he's not Rav Huna Bar Nasan, but still, he was a Talmid Chacham, the likes of which of Rav Ashi. The Gemara says yes, but he submitted himself to the authority of Rav Ashi. So the Gemara says, so Rav Ashi really embodied Torah Ugedula. Okay, start the next Mishnah. We are continuing now with various takanas that were instituted by the Chachamim. Cheresh, you have somebody who's a deaf mute. So, Romez Venirmas, so how can he communicate? So through Remiza. So, Remiza, basically hand gestures, some sort of physical gesturing that indicates what his interest is. Rashi writes, Mashu Romez Kayim Mashu Romzim Lo, Vuhu Misratze Kayim. So even though he's a deaf mute and he cannot communicate verbally, but nevertheless his physical communications, his hand gestures, his hand motions is considered a form of communication. Ben Becerra Omer Kofetz V'Nikbat. Ben Becerra goes actually one step further. He says you don't even need hand gesture. Just a simple kafitza. Rashi describes it as being akima sefasayim. It's not as identifiable as hand gestures, that's what Rashi says, but still, according to Ben Becerra, it's enough. It's enough to create a communication between the world and the Cheresh, between the Cheresh and the world, so that we know what his intent was. Bim Metaltalin. And then the Mishnah says, all this is related to the sale of Metaltalin. Meaning, well, that will allow this communication to work, even though it's not verbal, and even though it lacks a certain amount of clarity, but will allow this communication to work as it relates to Metaltalin. Hapa'utos mechamekach umemker amemker b'metaltalin. And then the Mishnah goes on to describe how. Another takana that was made regarding young children. Young children, we'll give an age later this morning in terms of how young they are. So young children can also create transactions when it comes to metaltalin movable goods. I'm Rav Nachman Chlokz ben metaltalin of Albegit and Divrei called Berimiza. This machlokus in our Mishnah is only as it relates to metaltalin, but when it comes to gittin, so everyone's in agreement that remiza is all you need. You specifically need remiza. Again, the way Rashi learns it, remiza is more identifiable than just simply reading lips. Pshita ben metaltalin tanan. The Gemara says now, I will tell you that seems to be obvious from our Mishnah because our Mishnah only limits it to metaltalin. So ma'ud etemav ben metaltalin. Kamash Malan. The Gemara says, yeah, but you know how you could have read the Mishnah. You could have read the Mishnah to read Af B'Metaltalin. So the Gemara says, that's the Chiddush of Rav Nachman. That's not the way to read the Mishnah. Igad Amri Amar Rav Nachman Kemachlokes B'Metaltalin Kach Machlokes B'Gittin. So the Gemara says, now according to the Igad Amri that Rav Nachman has it, they're debating how to create a transaction, both by metaltalin and by gittin, and the machlokas of whether or not you need hand gestures or even reading lips would be sufficient. This machlokas is true by metaltalin and by gittin. And the havamina that we had previously is a maskana now in the ikadamri. That's exactly how you're going to read the Mishnah. The Mishnah is meant to be read afa metaltalin. Peutos mecha mecha, I'm sorry, mecha mecha, umemkaram mecha bimetaltalin. Now, how old do you have to be as a child? Meaning, obviously, we're talking about under bar mitzvah. How old do you have to be where your sale is going to be registered as a sale as it relates to metatlin? So, matve Rav Yehuda Rav Yitzchak Berei Kibar Shitz Kibar Shev. 6 years, 7 years. Now, the word mechve means he showed. Meaning, he illustrated with his fingers. 6 years, 7 years. Rav Kahana Amar Kibar Shev Kibar Temne. Rav Kahana says 6, 7 years, I'm sorry, 7, 8 years of age. Bimasni Satana Kibar Tesha Kibar Eser. The Brisa has it as either 9 or 10. V'lo pligi kol chavachad lefi chorfei. Everyone is giving it based on chorfei, based on how smart they are. Meaning that each one of them had a different developmental stage in which they arrived at some sort of understanding of what a transaction means, what money means. And so, it's basically, you can't put a singular number to what, how old you have to be for a transaction to be good. Basically, when there's an understanding of what a transaction means, then. Why did the Chachamim institute this? Very simple. Because if Rachman al-Slan, you have a child who does not have an apotropos, doesn't have a parent, doesn't have an apotropos, so he needs to live. How is he going to live? He's going to conduct business. So basically, to help him so that he'll be able to live, so therefore the Chachamim allowed his transactions to have validity. The Gemara quotes the pasuk Vayomer Hashem al hamiltecha hotzei levush lechol ovdei habaal. Now the Gemara over here is quoting the pasuk in Malachim Beis. The pasuk has nothing to do with what we're learning right now, but it's the stem baal memra. So Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Abba bar Yaakov, Amar Rav Yochanan, Devar hanimla v'nimtach, something that is rolled in the hand. Meaning, the pasuk in Malachim is describing a certain material that's rolled. Specifically, linen. When Bonius ben Nunis sent a gift to Rebbe, he sent them the following. So he gave him a gift of clothing, and the Gemara describes it, and the Gemara now is going to explain. Sivni, v'chomes ba'amguza upaga. The Sivni, I'm sorry, ba'amguza upaga damguza. So the Sivni that was gifted over to Rebbe, it was such fine linen that it could be folded basically into the size of a walnut and a half. Silsala umamala, ki pisakta upaga de pisakta. And the silsala and the mamala that was gifted over to Rebbe, this clothing, again, fine linen, it was so fine it could be folded into a small amount. My milmala, devar hanimla v'nimtach. Okay, and milmala is something that is rolled in the hand, meaning it was a linen garment. Okay, back to our discussion. V'ta'usan ad kama. We know that whenever you have transactions that are done, so there is fraud protection. And that fraud protection is granted to us by the Torah. It's called the halachas of ona'a. I cannot overcharge, I cannot undercharge, and if I do so, mechan bato. Are the same statutes of fraud going to fraud protection going to be afforded to the child? It's kind of a funny question. Meaning, I mean, the answer is obvious. I don't know, just I'm speaking frankly right now, I don't know what the havamina would have been, that something would have been different. Maybe within the takana, I have a hard time articulating why there's a havamina that it would be different. But anyway, the Gemara asked the question, V'tavosan ad kama am Rav Yonah, am Rav Zera, achesus.
So maybe by him,
the Indian
of
Arnold, could be. Anyway, the Gemara's maskana is no. Achesus, it's a six. The same fraud protection that's granted to buyer and seller by adults is also afforded to the minors as well. Kid gadol, just like a gadol. Buy a matanas amai. Okay, now we talked about mekach umemkar. Meaning, if there's a transaction where there's money exchanged for goods, so then the Mishnah told us that the Chachamim granted him that kind of ability to be Konem. What about a Matana? So what if it's a transaction that doesn't involve money exchanged for goods? So do the Chachamim afford him that kind of Kenyan? So So Rav Yehmer Amar in Ein Matanasa Matana Amar Bar Rav Ashi Amar Matanasa Matana. So it's a machlokas Amarayim. Now Avchua v'Shajul Kamei de Rav Mordechai. Now they sent the question to Rav Mordechai. They sent the two opinions that we just went over, but Avchua, they flipped it. So in other words, when sent to Rav Mordechai, so Amar Bar Rav Ashi said that the Matana is not considered Matana, even though that's not true. Meaning, okay, whoever presented the question to Rav Mordechai switched it. Amalei zila amru labar mar lav hachi have a uvda ki have a kai mar chad karev arav chad karev adarga. So can I remind Mar bar Rav Ashi what happened? He had 1 foot on the ground, 1 foot on the step, going into the base medrash. Ve'amrilei matanasa mai v'amalan matanasa matana. I heard him say that the matana of a katan is considered a matana. So how can it be reported to me now that Mar bar Rav Ashi says that matana is not considered a matana? I don't know what happened. So we, meaning the reader of the Gemara, we know what happened. In other words, whoever delivered the question to Rav Mordechai switched around the shitas. So we know what happened. Achas matana shchimer rav, achas matana zbari, achas matana merubav, achas matana muatas. And it doesn't matter if it's a matana of shchimer or is that a healthy person. It doesn't matter if it's a lot, it doesn't matter if it's a little. The matana is going to be considered a matana. Okay, let's continue. We are now in the Mishnah on the bottom of Nintesim and Aleph. More takanas that were made elo dvarim. Amr medarche shalom. We got to get along. Okay, it's an imperative. And the Chachamim realized that, and the Chachamim made a number of takanas to make sure that we get along swimmingly. So the Mishnah goes on to describe El Dvar Mamru Mimnei Darchei Shalom Kohen Korei Rishon V'Acharav Levi V'Acharav Yisrael Mimnei Darchei Shalom. So there are aliyahs that are given out in Shul. And people get excited about their aliyahs. So just to make sure that everyone understands, so there's going to be an order. First you give to the Kohen, then you give to the Levi, and then you give to Yisrael. And the Mishnah says that's the result of Darchei Shalom. Now, later on, we're going to be discussing, what does that mean, Darchei Shalom? Darchei Shalom means, sounds like, this was a rabbinic institution that was made so that we all get along. Kohen, giving the Kohen, the first aliyah, is more than a rabbinic institution. Right? V'kidashto. We have a mitzvah to be mekadosh to the Kohen, and to give him first dibs on everything. So we're going to discuss a little bit later on how the Mishnah seems to be presenting this as this is part of a Darchei Shalom institution. Okay, so we're going to come back to that point. You make your Erev Chatzeres. Now, Minhag Yisrael nowadays is to take the box of matzahs and leave it in the shul. Okay, but that's a more modern institution. Back in the good old days, when you had a chatzer and everyone contributed bread to the Erev Chatzeros, so the Erev Chatzeros was put in somebody's house. Well, whose house was it put in? So the Mishnah says, Darchei Shalom, let's not fight over who's going to be the host of the Erev Chatzeros. It's a mitzvah, so everyone would like it. So the Mishnah says, as part of Darchei Shalom, take the Erev Chatzeros and put it in the same person's house every time. And you do that, and again, it'll minimize the amount of fighting that goes on within the community. Borshu Karov La'ama Mitmale Rishon. You have the cistern that's close to the canal, so he gets to fill first Mimnei Darchei Shalom because of Darchei Shalom. Mitzudos Chayva Ofas V'Dagim Yesh Mishum Gezel Mimnei Darchei Shalom. You can't go to somebody's traps. Somebody laid out traps out in the forest and trapped animals, birds, fish. So now, it sounds like from the Mishnah, again, we're going to question this later in the Gemara. It sounds like from the Mishnah, he hasn't made a kinyan on it yet. Technically, you can go into the trap and take the animals that are found in the trap. That's what it sounds like from the Mishnah. And then the Chachamim instituted, he catches you doing it, even though technically it's okay. There are going to be issues. So understandably. So the Chachamim came along and instituted, you know what? If it's in his trap, don't take it. And we're going to slap a Darchei Shalom, a rabbinic ban from going to somebody else's trap and taking his trapped animals. Again, we're going to discuss later on. It sounds like from the Mishnah that he hadn't made a kinyan on it yet.
The trap is his
shoes. Kinyan chatzah.
Yeah.
We're going to discuss. Rabbi Yossi Omer Gezel Gomer. Rabbi Yossi says no. That's not Darche Shalom Gezel. That's real. That's called Gzela. Metzias Cheresh Shalta Vekad Niyesh Ma Mishum Gezel Mimnei Darche Shalom. A Cheresh Shalta Vekad and picks up an item. Now again, because they don't have Das, they haven't made a Kinyan. Now again, that means that technically you can go over and you can take it away from them. But again, that's not going to create a good society, a pleasant society. So the Chachamim ban people from doing that. Mimnei Darche Shalom. And again, Rabbi Yossi Omer Gezel Gomer. Rabbi Yossi says that's real gzela. And once again, we're going to discuss later on what's at the issue between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi. Ani Amnakev Barosh Hazayis Ma Shetachtav Gezel Mimnei Darche Shalom. You have an ani who's banging away at the tree so that he's knocking down the fruit. Now, he hasn't made a kinyan on it yet. The fruit falls to the ground. What he's going to do is he's going to pick it up. Now, what could somebody else do? Run down, pick it up, right? It's like the pinata. So run down, pick it up, and technically it's okay. Once again, the Chachamim realize that's not going to be good for society. We're not going to function well that way. So once again, Darche Shalom, it made Darche Shalom. Chachamim said anything under the ani is his. And you cannot take it. Rabbi Yossi Omer Gezel Gomer, and again, Rabbi Yossi says that no, this is not Darche Shalom. It's called Gzela. And now the poor, the Goyim who are going and collecting Leket Shecha and Peah, let them be. Don't discourage. Don't chase them away. And once again, Darche Shalom, it'll create peace and harmony. Minani immediately, the Gemara goes back to the first halacha that we learned back in the Mishnah. The halacha was that when it comes to the Aliyos, so it is Kohen, Levin, Yisrael, Mibnei Darke Shalom. Amar Rav Masan, Damar Krav, Yichtov Moshe, Esa Torah, Zos, Vayitna, Ela Kohanim, Bnei Levin. So at the end of the Torah goes on to describe how Torah was written and handed over to Kohanim Bnei Levi. So Ata Ana Lo Yadana to Kohanim Bnei Levi Ninu. Now, we all know that the Kohanim are descendants of Levi. Ela Kohen Bereisha V'Hada Levi. It means that the Torah is being nirmaz first Kohen, then Levi. Rav Yitzchak Nafcha Amar Mehacham Nikshu HaKohanim Bnei Levi. Ata Ana Lo Yadina to Kohanim Bnei Levi Ninu. Ela Kohen Bereisha V'Hada Levi. A similar idea. Ramash Yamameach Bnei Amram Aaron Umoshe V'Ibadel Aaron LaHakti Show Kodesh Kadashim, and then Aaron was separated to become holy. Rav Chia Barab Amameach V'Kidash Lo Chol Davar Shebekdusha. You are Mekadeshim. Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel V'Kidash Lo Chol Davar Shebekdusha. Liftoach Rishon Ulevarich Rishon Lito Mana Yafa Rishon. Three examples of the first for the Kohanim. Liftoach Rishon. When there's an assembly and somebody's going to go up there to speak, the first speaker should be the Kohen. Levarich Rishon, also in terms of giving a bracha. When it comes to Seuda, so the benching, so give it to the Kohen. Litom Ani Yafa Rishon, in terms of giving out portions of food, make sure the Kohen gets first. So these are just examples. Amalei Abai L'Rav Yosef Minei Darkei Shalom Daraisehi. And here the Gemara asks the question. So now I'm not following. So we're giving the Kohen the first Aliyah. Why? The Mishnah says Darkei Shalom. He says, what are you talking about? It's not Darkei Shalom. It's called a mitzvah of Vikidah Shal. Amalei Daraisa Minei Darkei Shalom. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the pshat means like this. It's really a din Daraisa rooted in Darkei Shalom. The Gemara says, you just described the entire Torah. Kola Torah Kula. Nami Minei Darkei Shalom Hi. Dichsiv Darche Darche Nam V'chol Nasiv Aser Shalom. That is a basic principle of Kola Torah Kula, is that it's pleasant. Alamar Abai L'chidamar D'tanya Shnai Mamtinen Zela Zebekara Shloshe Matin Amamtinem. So the Gemara says, well, what we're going to do is we're going to apply it to the statement made by Mar. Okay, so I'll tell you what. Let's pause over here. The time has elapsed. I'll pick it up tomorrow in the middle of this question. We'll come back. I'll set it up tomorrow. Again, we finished the topic of Sikrikan today. The Takana of Rebbe was that after 12 months, anyone can buy it back from the Sikrikan, and yeah, the first dibs are not given to the original owner. An interesting discussion about Rav being in the Beis Din of Rebbe, having a vote. Other takanas that we learned about today, cherish, how it communicates, a katan, how it creates transactions when it comes to metaltalin, and then the Mishnah on the bottom of the New Testament Aleph, going to the Amud Beis, describes various other takanas that were made because of Darkei Shalom. We'll discuss much more of it tomorrow.